try to go with on other level with reading, to go to the concepts directly. This is my grammar for loss. I think with these words, with these concepts, I can explain everything I can imagine of him. So, what's really important here? This connection is really important. These concepts, essence, unity of representation, matter, value, form, craftsmanship, life as a modern style, Cuban complexity, he sees it, he tried to see it as a base layer of our society. And these other things, which are not really the opposite, I will tell what they are, they're on the other side. But I think he doesn't see it as opposite, he sees it as a layer on top of each other. So we have a masking that is, this is on top of the essence, separation, which grows from unity, value of material, top of value of form, ornament on top of the form. It looks like this. And what he's interested in is in cleaning it. So he's interested in modern. And modern is now, and modern is this layer. So, how I see him is person between morality and complexity. And what is morality for him? It has to do with equality, helpfulness, value, and correctness. Oops. And on the other side, he sees complexity through human needs and material. So these terms are now interconnected with each other, these concepts. I'll try to explain how. So how he makes these connections. He introduces laws and rules on both sides and makes conceptual transfers from present to future. So we see that in this world we have value that rises with amount of work, or it was like that in 19th century. But what is he's interesting about, he make a conceptual transfer that he says that amount of work is completely irrelevant in relation to value. He says the artist has only one ambition, to master his material in such a way that his work is independent of the value of raw material. Our architects, however, have not heard of this ambition. For them, a square meter of wall surface out of granite is more valuable than a square meter out of plaster. The reverence for the quantity of work done is the most fearsome enemy that our crafts profession has for its results in imitation. So he said that all materials are practically worthy by themselves and they are of equal value. And expensivity is not really required for great art, also not for architecture. And he sees the education very important here. He has very much problems with education. He really don't like schools at that time, because he says the schools are like this. He said only the education can make this irrelevant. Nothing else. He also make another construction. He said that ornaments in use, which were like this in past times. Oops. He tells that in advance, if we have followed the advance of the mankind, we see that we don't need them anymore. So on the one side we have a crime, and the other side we have education. He also says the ornament use is proportional to the amount of work. So it's proportional on some way to a freedom of people. How he explains it? He explains it with this model down there. How are children growing up? He explains it in ornament and crime. He says that now, when a child is born at 2 years old, they are like Papuan. 4 years old, they are like Teuton. Those are German tribes. At 6, he's like Socrates, and with 8, he's now as Voltaire. He says that this is the limit which morality begins. So Papuan is really not, he's a moral person. He said the child is a moral. Papuan is also a moral. Papuan slaughters enemies and devours them. He's not a criminal. If, however, the modern man slaughters and devours somebody, he is a criminal or degenerate. The Papuan tattoos his skin, his boat, his oar, in short, everything that is within his reach. He is no criminal. The modern man who tattoos himself is a criminal or degenerate. And now how he sees complexity. He sees that you like as human needs and as material. So when speaking of human needs, he tells a story about poor little man. And this story about when man is really rich and really happy, but he sometimes realizes that he doesn't have much art in his life. So he tries to introduce it with an architect, and architect makes everything for him, everything is perfect. So it's the best case scenario for architecture. He amplifies it to the maximum. So everything is art in his house now. And then he sees that he cannot really live in that house. He used something from the table and then doesn't know where to put it back. Because he has to check his plans again, because it's not perfect if you put it in the place where the architects imagined. So he said that this architecture is captivated and finished. This story ends by when architects come for him to a visit, he sees him in a slippers that are not really for entering hall. He says, these are slippers for bedroom. Why are you wearing them now? You see how they are not really working well in this courtroom. So he says that if our architects' ambitions in total design go up, also that the house is not really house anymore. He said that people should decorate their houses in the same manner they choose their outfit, and the dog will not leave the warmth of his toe. With it, he says that architecture should identify itself also with body, not just with mind. So, and these human activities of living, dying, experiencing, meeting, articulating, he's attacking from both sides, from human needs that claim something and from material which allows something. So what is materiality for him? That's the core of his complexity. He noticed that our architecture separates itself in two fields, design and materiality. He's against top-down approach. So he says this design process goes from design to matter, and that schools do, drawing board is a symbol of that, and fake stylization is a symbol of that. He proposes some dialectics of matter and design. It is always influencing one another. So he respects the material and makes a whole theory out of duality of it. So he says material can be something and also can be nothing if there's no material. So this is what is something, this is protection. And this is what is nothing, that's existential space. And then he says he has material and space. This should be also here. And this material and space make visible qualities and invisible qualities. And they are all interlocking each other. So matter, aesthetics, effects, tactility, belonging, memory, safety, and invisible qualities. And from the other side, human activities. And for him, this is a round plan. So for me, when I talked about him, round plan is a method of articulating duality of matter, which has unlimited possibilities of articulating itself for one goal, to fulfill the needs of moral human being in terms of space. So what he says about it is, but the artist, the architect, first senses the effect that he intends to realize and sees the rooms he wants to create in his mind's eye. He senses the effect that he wishes to exert upon the spectator. Fear or horror if it's a dungeon, reverence if it's a church, respect for the power of the state if it's a government palace, pity if it's a tomb, homeliness if it's a residence, gaiety if it's a tavern. Those effects are produced by both the material and the form of the space. And at the end, what I think about him is ornament was just an excuse for him. He saw some shallowness in this society he was belonging. He didn't want to be part of it, and the ornament was a good thing to address, because the ornament was really a problem of the architecture at that time, like a mental problem. But What happens after he goes in Paris, I think a lot later when he writes all of this. But he's also see this shallowness in modernism. So it's the same if you have ornament that is really not valuable, but it's the same when you have a flat facade that is not really valuable. So he sees that shallowness in both ways, and that's it.